It's the Cripes Cast.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving.
Hey everybody, welcome to the Cripes Cast. I am your host, Charlie Behrens. This is the podcast where we talk to people for and or from the Midwest. Today we are talking to Trevor Wallace, who's a comedian. You may know him from his videos online. You may know him from his stand-up. Very good guy. He's actually originally from the Midwest, or he was born here. He was born in Naperville, Illinois. Does that mean he's a Bears fan? Unfortunately, yes. But that's okay. We got over that. We got past our differences fairly early on in this interview. Trevor and I actually got together. He was in Appleton. So we got together and did a couple sketches. One of them is the worst American Cornhole League ever video. I forgot what we actually titled that. But anyway, we were playing, I would call it Bags. Trevor called it Cornhole. So we had a little thing going on there. Check out that video if you want some context. Also, we did a video for Trevor's channel where it was when somebody from the West Coast meets somebody from the Midwest. And admittedly so, I came off a little bit like a serial killer. And that was actually interesting, fortuitous. I always want to say fortuitous, but I don't actually know what the hell if I'm using it let me actually look up the actual definition. Fortuitous. I can't spell. I've been historically a terrible speller. Fortuitous. Happening by accident or by chance. Okay, so yes, that was a fortuitous video. The thing where I kind of acted like a serial killer in that one video with Trevor. Because at the same time, I had just got done shooting, but not finished editing or publishing, the video called Midwest Horror Story or Midwest Horror Film. Charlie, get with the program. Remember the titles of your videos. Midwest Horror Film, which we released this week. It's one of my favorite videos that I've ever done. It started actually when my buddy Josh Burstein called me up. He's like, hey, what if we did a horror film about the Midwest called Tell Your Folks I Says Hi? And I was like, yeah, that is a great idea. And so we kind of went through a bunch of different horror films and we ended up just like pulling like our favorite horror scenes and applying them to the Midwest. So instead of here's Johnny, you know, it's like here's a brat and a bunch of other ones. So if you haven't seen that, check it out. You know, it's one of my favorite ones. Please do it for my ego. Thank you very much. I gotta get this studio thing set up here. I've got right now, the last time or a couple videos ago, I had a microphone set on top of a tackle box. Now it's on top of my Vince Lombardi mug. Okay, so if you know you're watching this, you can see, look at that, Vince Lombardi. Now this is a cool mug making company. Okay, this is Stoneware, and they are out of Neenah, I believe. Really great mugs made in Wisconsin. Check them out. Boy, are we all over the place in this podcast? Yes, we are. Anyway, so that is that. Okay, before the Midwest Horror Film, we were talking about the videos with Trevor. Yes, and Trevor is my guest today. Some of you may have seen like Trevor's videos about White Claws. If you've heard the phrase, there ain't no laws when you're drinking claws. I think he came up with that, and then I think White Claw actually came down on him and was like, yeah, you can't say that for obvious liability reasons. But so that interview is coming up. Before we get to the interview, I do just want to say thank you to everybody who has commented on the podcast or rated it. That really helps a lot. I just want to share some of these great comments. One of them is from MC Photographer. Charlie is a funny guy. His podcast is too, but it's also interesting and sometimes thoughtful. You know, folks, I try to be on occasion thoughtful. So thanks so much for that comment. Oh, I just hit my microphone again. Sorry for that glitch. All right, what else do we have here? Oh, okay. This is actually a great comment for this podcast because Trevor is from Naperville. Did I say that already? Or he was born in Naperville, which means he is a Bears fan. Okay, and anytime I can kind of find common ground with Bears fans is just a personal victory here. Okay, and by the way, Trevor, a great guy, despite being a Bears fan. But anyway, Chicago Bears said, even though he is a Packers fan, I love him. He makes me laugh in a time when it has been so hard to. He definitely has a gift. This Bears fan loves you, even though you say all those horrible things. What? What horrible things? Probably thinking about the F the Bears line. But here's the deal. In the context of the F word, the only way the F word isn't the F word, the only way it doesn't count as an F word is if you say the F word and then follow it by the Bears. Okay, and then it doesn't count. And then God does not count that on your sins, okay, for cursing, for cussing. Okay, so good. We got that one down. We got all those things said. And I think there's really nothing else to do here than get to the interview. So thank you all for listening to the Cripescast. And here is my conversation with Trevor Wallace.
I burped in my mask, and that's
what'd you have to eat?
Fun. I had a BLT, actually.
Oh.
Yeah, you remember. So actually, we should start with that because we went to, Trevor and I shot a few sketches, and then we went to this cafe to get something to eat, and you ordered, I couldn't help but notice, a BLT minus the T.
No T, just a BL.
You just have some against tomatoes, or?
Yeah, I got a vendetta against them. I don't know. I just don't like the slimy on the inside. It's like a rotten apple, which really is very childish of me. And then people are like, well, do you like ketchup? Love ketchup. Do you like marinara? Love marinara. Do you like cocktail sauce? It's okay. It's all right. But tomatoes, it's like you bite into it. It's like a rotten grape.
Yeah, okay. I see where you're coming from. I think that's just something people learn to get over at some point, usually around the age of, well, six or seven.
Yeah, see, it's interesting because I like bougie food like octopus, but something like a tomato, I will like tomatoes and cucumbers. Don't mess with them. When I get sushi, I poke out the cucumbers like a mature 8-year-old.
That's really nice of you. Yeah, that's
yeah, everybody hates going to sushi with me because I'm like, can I get the no cucumbers? And then they always forget, or they just don't respect me, and then I just sit there and poke it through. My plate's just like a little tray of cucumbers.
Wow. Do you have any other weird food things? I mean, this wasn't where I was planning on going with this conversation, but since we're here, you know?
That's mainly it. Okay. Those two. Burping in the mask. You gotta cover that real quick.
Well, have you ever burped into your mask?
I have. And I don't know if it's a mask that smells bad or it's my breath, but I'm going to blame it on the mask.
Yeah. There's some about that. There are so many of these nuances with masks, too. Like, you see people wearing them in their car, too, from time to time?
You know, if they got the right scent in there, I'd wear it all the time. If there was a lavender scent in the mask, you better believe I'll throw the thing on.
That should be a thing. Maybe that could be in your merch line.
Well, that's what I was thinking. You know, all the people that are like, no mask, I'm not wearing a mask, this is my freedom, right? Boom. I think if they made a ranch scented mask, I think it'd be a hit.
Actually, you're on to something, right? You just got to make a desirable thing to wear.
Something. You know, give it a reason. I smell like Dr. Pepper, I'd wear it.
Wow. Yeah. No, I mean, these are some profound thoughts that we're getting, and we are just moments into this podcast. So, I mean, I am just
dropping gems.
So, where are you from?
I was actually born rival territory, Naperville, Illinois.
No way.
Yeah.
Naperville.
Someone could say I'm a Bears guy.
Are you really a Bears fan?
Yeah.
Shoot.
I just didn't say anything the whole time because the hat. Dude. You were wearing a Green Bay hat.
And yeah.
I'm also in Wisconsin. I'll get jumped so quick. Just
totally.
Just a cheesehead.
You better keep that low.
Yeah, I was going to say it on stage, but I don't think that's a good idea.
No, I mean, not here. Not in Appleton, Wisconsin. No, I would avoid saying that. Yeah.
What if I said I'm a Bears fan? Psych.
That may work. That may work well.
But deep down, no psych.
So you were in Naperville until what age?
Like 2.5. I don't even count.
2.5. Okay.
Somebody asked me what street I was on. I was like, I don't know. Chance the Rapper's born on the 79th. So sure, I'll go with that. Like, honestly, when I went there, because I've been there a few times for shows, every time I go, I got to go on Yelp and look up pizza places. And I'm like, if you don't know where Lou's or Giordano's.
if you guys say it like
Giordano's,
that.
You're not a local native. And yeah. When people ask me, oh, you're from Chicago? And I'm like, well, kind of. Naperville's not even Chicago. It's like the outskirts.
Yeah, it's the burbs. So yeah, what do you call home then?
Ventura County in Southern California. So it's like in between Los Angeles and Santa Barbara.
Mm-hmm.
Just like this little random town in the middle. You drive right through it when you're just driving up the coast. It's like just tucked in a little bit. Yeah. Nothing special. We got an outlet mall. So if you want that discounted polo, we got
Sweet.
It's a guy riding like a horse.
You are the truck stop basically for like the Christmas shoppers. It's a Christmas.
A lot of peeing goes on in our town. A lot of people be like, pull over, I got to go to the bathroom. It's a very pee town.
Oh, yeah, pee town. Nice. Yeah. We got one of those here. It's called Johnson Creek or Johnson Creek, depending on if you're a local or not.
Sounds like a hospital.
It does. I've never thought about it that way. But yeah, I would feel good if I were hurt in any other state and they were taking me to Johnson Creek. I don't know how I'd feel if they were taking me to Johnson Creek Medical Center.
Sounds like it needs to go to its own hospital. It sounds like I got a crick in my neck.
Yeah, that's true. That's, you know, the solid thoughts there.
Solid thoughts. Just spitting gems.
Siblings? You got siblings?
I have an older sister. She's 2 years older. She lives in New York, COVID city.
Yeah.
So she's doing all right. You know, we check in.
Nice.
From our distance.
Well, I was wondering when we were going to get some music, when we were going to get a backtrack to this podcast.
It does add some ambiance.
It does. I mean, they picked the...
Is there a certain time that goes on, though?
I don't know. 3:24, I guess. Nah. Maybe they just wanted us to not be shooting this
100%.
Thing
100%.
Sure.
Are we just going to roll through it?
We're going to roll through it.
It's kind of peaceful. It adds a nice pace to it.
It's almost like it's not mall. It's not dentist music.
It's
but
an
it's
upscale elevator.
Upscale elevator, which makes sense for the exterior of a Marriott.
It's a Marriott with a lake view.
Yeah.
I said in life, when I make it big, I want one thing. That's a Marriott with a lake view.
And frankly, I think that's the name of this song, Marriott with a Lake View. Oh, and it's off now.
Did he ask?
I think he asked.
That's
Max
a bold move.
Just got up there and he just...
What did he say to them?
I don't know, but he didn't even hesitate.
Just held and a can of cheese whiz at the guy's face and was like, turn it off. That's wild.
That is wild, because that's not a Midwest move at all. A Midwest move would be to just deal with it, you know? Just embrace it.
Oh, yeah.
The music. And do nothing. Solid work, Max. Did they care or what? Did they care? Oh, did you ask if it's got a 3:24 alarm on or something? Was that the time to start the music?
I don't know. You just said it's supposed to be on. So.
Oh, nice. Oh,
well, cool. I personally enjoy it. So if it comes back on again, we'll keep it, and it'll be a game of musical chairs. And I'm sorry to interrupt anybody who enjoyed that.
Yeah.
It was a nice flow to it. You
know? It did have a nice flow. Yeah. So anyway, back to your family. So you grew up one older sister and
older
then
sister.
Your folks still there?
Folks are still back in the hometown, holding it down. They like it out there. They like being able to drive to like cool places like Santa Barbara, and it's relatively close enough to the beach. It's very calm. So like my rock bottom is an hour away. It's great. If things don't go well, boom. So down the 101.
Yeah, it's a nice place, very close to the ocean. You got a good rock bottom, I would say.
It's a solid rock bottom, quite a soft rock bottom. Sand is what I'm trying to say here.
Yeah, sand bottom. That's nice. So when did you start doing videos?
I always like had a fascination for like videos and just like messing around with video cameras as a child.
Yeah.
But mainly it was kind of around the Vine days. My friend in college was like, it was my sophomore year, it's like 2013. He was like, dude, you got to check out this app. This app's like really big and some funny stuff on there. I was like, man, I don't believe it. Whatever. You know, and I went and checked it out and I was like, oh, this is pretty neat. Super addicting. Very just like, you just scroll for days and, you know, it's the same way I feel about TikTok now. You just scroll. You find something funny and that like bumps up your like, your gas tank of like, how much you can take in. And I just scroll until I find something funny. And then I'm like, all right, I got to get off.
Yeah.
You know? And when it's funny, it's really funny. So it's like that. But so I started making videos in a fraternity that I was in. It was great because I had a disposal of like 50 guys, just like whenever. But you guys want to make a video? So and we just had this like pretty big frat house.
Which
so
fraternity?
Delta Upsilon.
Delta at which school?
San Jose State University.
Okay,
it's up
cool.
in the Bay Area.
So is that one where the fraternities were big?
Not really, but it did make the college experience better. We did have a Greek row, which was nice because a lot of like these like random state schools, it's like, yeah, it's a house behind a Petco. That's where we go and party. But this one, we actually had like a big, like we had like 40 to 50 guys that lived in the frat house at once.
Yeah.
So like it was pretty big and it was fun. But I was making videos then, 2013, and then I started getting into stand-up and was doing open mics after class and ride my bike downtown San Jose, do mics, and then just make videos. And I was just like, this is what I want to do.
Now, were you one of those guys when you first did stand-up that you did your first show bombed super hard and then just didn't do it for 6 months. I feel like that's a common story.
I did the opposite. I actually, when I was 17, that's the first time I ever got on stage. It was like this like family show. It was like a local thing. It was like pretty much like how, like, you know, dance recitals are just like, nobody's there just to watch. It's like all like friends and family.
Yeah, yeah.
It was like that. So it was just like a bunch of friends and family were there to watch me. A bunch of friends and family were there to watch like the other people. It was like, it was pretty much like six beginner ass comics. And then like one dude closed it out who's legit. And then so it was like a bringer show essentially. So it was just a bunch of like friends and family supporting me. And I actually did well. Because like the owner of the club like helped me write in. And I'd go to him and I'd run jokes past him and this and that. And I practiced it a bunch. I was so nervous. And then the second time I was like, oh, I'm Dane Cook. I'm amazing. This is great. The second time I got on stage, not the same story. Because I would come back from college and do sets there. But I wasn't working super hard on stand-up. So these sets were written like the night before.
Yeah.
My open mic was in front of real people. And I was just like, ooh, this is not good. It was trash. So I had a false sense because friends and family were like, ha ha, this is great. Wow, a joke you would tell at Thanksgiving. But so I had a false sense. And then as I started to get more into it, I got worse because I didn't have my friends and family there.
Yeah.
And then, so it's not essentially I got worse. I just was never good in the first place.
Right, right. You just stacked the audience.
Yeah. But it were you like that first time?
No. First time I just went to open mics in L.A. And like in, you know, what's the, there's some coffee shop on Venice Boulevard. I don't know. I went in.
There's coffee shops in Venice?
You didn't know that? Yeah, yeah. There's coffee shops. Yeah, actually, I think this was technically Marina Del Rey.
Oh.
So, oh, no, not Marina Del Rey. Mar Vista.
Oh.
Yeah.
Was it in the day?
It was, no, it was like, it was around 5 o'clock.
There was one I used to go to on Saturdays in the day, and it was just like a baking hot room in the back of a little coffee shop.
I know what you're talking about.
It'd be like the same comics every time. You're like, hey, guys.
Yeah.
What do you think about this? And you know what's funny is our, like, the open mic started at, like, 11 or 12, but from the hour beforehand was like AA meetings. And the funniest part is I couldn't tell who was a comic or who was coming out of AA. But honestly, we all got the same end goal. I just want to be happy inside. That's really
just,
it.
Just want to be happy inside. Have a thing for talking on stage on occasion. You know, I know some people who get their open mic stuff out at AA, and I'm like, that's not the place to do that.
Yeah. Or but, you ever have comics run bits on you, like, while you're trying to do a conversation?
Mm-hmm.
So it'd be like, if we were eating lunch, and I was just like, yeah, that's crazy. Yeah. The craziest thing about BLT is it's like, you know, tomatoes. It's like,
you know when they're doing it. You know exactly when they're doing it.
You know because it feels too scripted, or you've heard him do it on stage. It's a lot of those older comics that do it. I've done so many terrible shows. I used to host a show in a Marie Callender's in Valencia.
Yeah.
Santa Clarita by Six Flags.
Yeah, yeah.
And it was just like the dude who owned the comedy club that I did the first show at owned this one, and he would just throw me, and it was the only stage time I'd get my first like year in LA. So I just did it. I was hosting Marie Callender's, but like he would only book like his friends, and he's been doing it for like 30, 40 years. So there'd be all these like old time OGs swinging through, and they're the type of guys that are like, they don't have stories, they got bits. And they're like, and my wife's so great, but like their bit that would crush out there, and the crowds were all very old. I seldomly did good. And if I did good, it was self-deprecating, saying my dad didn't love me, but he did. But the jokes out there that would crush would be like, yeah, it's me and my wife's 45th anniversary, clap it up for that. Hey, not too loud. You don't want her to hear it. She's in the car. And then everybody's like, wow, you're a hoot. If anybody ever calls my act a hoot, I'm quitting that day. Do not call me a hoot. This guy is a hoot. What does that mean?
So you got your reps in there, though.
Yeah.
Was that the first place you got your real reps in?
Yeah. Well, those two clubs, because he owned one is called Ventura Harbor Comedy Club. That's like my hometown club. That, and I would just bounce. I would just, each weekend, I'd either host or I'd be like, can I do a guest set? Boom, 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 boom. And I would just, they're both like equidistant, hour and then an hour. And like, I didn't mind my spending my Friday night like that. Like, my first few years in LA, like, I did not like go out and like party. Like, I just did mics. And then I would just be at like the Flappers mic in Burbank. That's a comic club out there on like Friday at like 11:45. Just it's all I cared about. And then I started making more videos and I was like, oh yeah, I love videos. This is fun. And I was like, you can't cut corners in stand up, but there is a way to get more eyes on you.
Which 100%.
Is kind of what I did with the videos, but it shows. You get 5 minutes of people being like, oh, that's the dude who does videos. And then afterwards, if you're not funny, they're like, well, We saw the guy. So I want to be like, I got a 45-minute set for you guys, and it took so long to get there. And it's like, I still am not happy with it.
Oh, folks, excuse the interruption, but I just wanted to let you know this week's episode of the Cripescast is brought to you by the Catfish Lounge in Milwaukee, Wisconsin. If you like catfish and you like to see them lounge, well, then the Catfish Lounge is the place for you. And if you're looking to get a lounging catfish to go, give them a call. They got to-go orders with the COVID and whatnot. Their number is 414-445-3505. Also, don't forget to rate the podcast real quick and leave a comment. I'd love to hear from you. Okay, back to the conversation.
But you're right. Like, if you have a big following, you get one. Like, you get one tour or whatever where people
one show.
Pay and they'll see it. But if it's not good, that's your last tour.
Yeah, man. And people are honest.
Yeah.
People, if you spend money and you spend time to get out of the house to go do a thing and you're not happy, they're honest. I mean, they'll tell you straight up to your face. It's the same way people talk about restaurants. They leave, they'll be like, yeah, it was whatever. Chicken salad was okay.
Mm-hmm.
So with the show, like, I feel like people are very honest. Like, yes, love your videos. If they say love your videos on the way out, I'm like, what about the 45 minutes? So I don't know. It's all in my head essentially too. But
well, for you, what's the greater love? Is it videos or is it stand up?
I think they have two separate feelings. I like the process of making videos better than I like the process of writing stand up, but I like the feeling of stand up, the engagement better than watching the views go up.
Yeah.
Cause like, it's kind of like you hit your first 1,000,000 views and you're like, oh, dude, this is a crazy feeling. But then everyone after that, and like, what's like the check mark?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's next?
Mm-hmm.
Like, what's going to get you like jacked up, you know?
Yeah.
It's kind of like when you turn 21, you turn 22, you're like, well, last year was better. So no amount of views, unless it's like an insane number, will really give me that same endorphins that like a lot, like a me telling a brand new joke that lands will do. Like, I tell a brand new joke and it hits, I'm like, oh my God. I thought of a thing. They liked it. This is the live response. The laughter is better than comments and views.
Yeah, I feel like you have more room to like really get teeth into what you're trying to say and really get some.
Yeah.
Whereas a video, you can absolutely do that, but I just feel like you have more room to explore on stage.
One thing I like about videos is kind of like it's a creative process between whoever you're filming with or yourself or the shooting, and it's like you just map it out and it's just like you figure it out. And also, what I really like about it, it's kind of the same thing with specials, is once you put it out there, you let the internet decide if it's funny or it's not, or like, but it's done. You can't go back and edit and be like, oh, you know what I should have added? But it's kind of like, I did the thing. I made a video. It's out there for the world to see stand up. It's like, you got to cut yourself off. You got to be like, this joke ran its course. You got to, or you'd be like, but it is good because you can have an ever growing bit and you can bring back old bits and make them better. But I like being like, I like due dates. You know? I'm posting a video by Monday. I need to shoot it by Wednesday, edit it, da, 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 boom, boom. But with stand-up, it's not like, hey, I need a new joke by Monday morning, 9 a.m.
Right.
So it's, I like that.
It's sometimes you find that on stage or something, though, or you're writing. Are you one of those guys who's always in the notes section of your phone?
Mm-hmm.
Like, do you just steal stuff from casual conversation?
My girlfriend hates that. I'll literally be sitting there and be like, hey, that's actually pretty funny. And I'll, like, go and just, like, start writing. And it'll be, like, 1 a.m. She's like, who are you texting? I'm like... my notes app. But it's like, it's almost like I'd rather just lie and be like, another dude, girl, instead of being like, oh no, I'm writing this joke about toilet paper. You know,
yeah.
And then she's like, why are you thinking about toilet paper next to me? I'm like, yeah, because you smell.
You asked.
Yeah, exactly. But it's like, that's kind of the thing that comes with dating anybody in like that realm of creativity where they're always like, you're kind of always working.
Yeah.
There's no like 9 to 5. I don't clock out. Even after a show, I'm like, what tag worked, what tag didn't work.
Right.
So it's always like an ongoing thing, which is interesting.
What was your first video to take off?
It was about, I mocked a Zoomies employee. Do you guys have Zoomies out here? Skate shop?
Yeah, I mean, I know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Zoomies is a skate shop.
Yeah, I did like a straight to camera, like 1 minute, like monologue, little rant mocking an employee.
Mm-hmm.
And that was like the first thing that hit 1,000,000. I was like, yo, that's crazy. So I did a follow-up video trying to milk it the next week. And that video ended up, I did that video in store as like a fake employee. And that video like popped like crazy. And that's when I was like, oh, this is a thing.
And then what platform?
It popped on YouTube and Facebook, but Facebook, it did like the biggest, it did like 15 million. I was like,
Oh geez, shoot.
Yeah. I was like, yeah. So then once that happened, I doubled down and I was like, all right, this is a character I'm going to make. Okay. He goes from the store. Now he does this. And then he does all these scenarios, but I was like, I don't want to be labeled as like just that. So then I started throwing in different sketches and, you know, now it's like, I haven't made a Zoomies video in like over a year and a half, but
how old were you when the first video came out?
Well, that actually, I had like two vines do some numbers pretty well, but that was like, I didn't get a lot of followers from it, but that was like 2013, 2014. But this Zoomies one came out 2017. That was 3 years ago. So I was 24.
Okay. So like,
I'd been in LA for like 3 years.
Got you. So were you always doing this stuff, like in a way where you were making money, or when did you start making money doing it?
Probably like 2018. I think it popped in 2017. And then the first time I saw any check was probably from YouTube. And it was just like, it was like for $18 and like 27 cents. But I was like, it's like two burritos right there. Let's go. So yeah, 2018. And then I just, then like 2018, I had a few more videos, nothing crazy. But at the end of 2018, I had this like AirPod video that did like really well. And then I was like, all right, you just got to keep putting it out there. Just keep throwing logs in the fireplace. And then 2019 was like kind of like a good momentum year, and
so
then
like,
COVID.
Then COVID. And how did COVID change your
my
game?
Touring, dude. I had a summer lined up that I was. I mean, obviously I'm in Wisconsin right now, so woo. But I mean, I was supposed to go to like Hawaii. I was supposed to go to New York to film some stuff with Comedy Central. And I was just like, I was supposed to go to Hawaii twice. Sorry to flex, but I mean, it's what really did is I just doubled down on videos. Because usually when I was touring, I'd be like, all right, I leave Wednesday, let's shoot Monday, I'll edit Tuesday, boom, or I'll edit on the flight. But now it's like I have a catalog of like videos, and for the first time ever, it feels like a actual production. It's like, cool, next Monday, I'm good. Monday after that, that's in post right now. Like, it's like a system, which is great instead of living week to week. Because that week to week stuff is scary, because you forget to shoot a video and all of a sudden you just post like a random dancing TikTok and you're like, well, I've lost it. The wheels have fallen off the wagon. So I always just want to put out quality content that I'm proud of. I don't ever want to be like, here's a repost, which you can totally do. That's fine. And I probably should do that, because when new people come to your page, they definitely miss that. But I for whatever reason, I feel like there's a voice in the back of my head, which is like the fans being like,
want something
it's
new?
Monday. Where's it at?
Yeah.
Where are we at? Monday.
Yeah, well, I mean, I think it's that drive, and you're right. Nobody's holding you accountable, and but it's you almost are holding you accountable. But that's exactly what makes you better, is that incessant creativity.
Yeah, nobody says I have to put out a video every Mondays, but I feel like if I hold myself to that standard, then it's great. Because if you tell yourself I'll put out a video a month, it'll be the month, it'll be like the 27th, and you're like, well, damn, I don't have a video yet. It's like I'd rather just be like, this is the day, every day at this time. So people know when to come back, and that's why TV shows do that.
Yeah, it's true. There is a lot that we're borrowing sort of from we've all said like to hell with traditional media, and then we've like brought that back, the schedule and like the structure to certain degrees.
Exactly. Yeah, no, I mean, like the traditional works for a reason, but there's, in this world, it's like stuff moves so quick, and it's like SNL cranks out topical stuff in a week, but like people aren't sleeping. Like, it is insane. So to have the freedom to be like, something happens in the news, pops off on Twitter on Monday, to shoot it Monday night, get it up Tuesday morning. Like, I love that rush. Like when Tiger King hit, I remember writing, shooting, and editing the whole thing in like 24 hours. And I posted at 8 a.m. because I was up all night editing it. But I was like stoked, because I was like, this show is catching serious heat. And if I'm not the first one to do it, then all of a sudden you're copying. Because if you pull one out, people are like, oh, you're just copying Charlie.
Yeah.
Or you're copying Trey Kennedy, whatever. So that's why I was like, I'm going to be the first one to make this. And I literally, like, that's all I cared about. Like, my brain was like, I'd get texts and I'd be like, I'll answer tomorrow.
Oh, that's funny. You had that. I've had that too, of where, like, this is, I cannot do anything with pleasure until that is out.
Yeah,
you know, it's
but
gonna
dude,
bug
that,
me.
That deadline stuff is, that's what keeps me going. That's like what I edit the best at, like 2 a.m. because my phone's like, nobody's hitting me up.
Yeah.
Instagram is dead. Like, and then you're just like in there cranking away.
And you've got that kind of tired, kind of caffeinated vibe going.
Yeah, it's
weird.
It's like you get over a hump. It's around like 11 or 12, I'm yawning. But once you get in the dead of night, your body's like, was this morning?
Yeah.
Are we doing this?
I'll do another day.
That's funny. I don't remember sleeping tonight, but I must have been sleeping, whatever. So I love just pushing through, because it gives me like a, it's just like, all right, you're almost there. And then you just post it. And then that's what I said earlier about being like, I like posting and being like, that's my work, on to the next.
Yeah.
So that's kind of nice. Because if you sit on something for too long, I've had ideas that I sat on for too long, and then somebody else does them. was like, damn.
That's the worst. I'm never upset when somebody does something I would have never thought about, but when it's like an idea I had or something tangential, that's when I get super jealous about the whole thing.
That was neat. I almost took a sip of my microphone right there. I had a bottle of water, and I was like, oh, is this water bottle?
You know, actually, if you eat tomatoes, they help with certain parts of your brain that differentiates water bottles from microphones. So
yeah, I guess I'll never know that.
No.
Well, that's crazy, man.
If you're looking for any advice, which you're not, but if you
No.
I'd throw that in there. So I guess you've got, what are kind of like your long-term, what's your five-year plan? Actually, what time are we at? Oh, we're at 26 minutes. Okay.
Oh, cool. Nice. My five-year plan. Oof.
No, not what's, that's a terrible question.
It's not bad.
All right, fine. What's your five-year plan?
It just sounds like my father.
I was being sarcastic about that, but since you like the question.
Give me my four-year plan, huh? How about that? Let's speed things up. I'm going to give my four-month plan. Defeat COVID.
Yeah.
I think so. Five-year plan, or just a plan in general. I would just love to... I love the freedom of that we have when we're filming and be like, oh, let's do this. It's very like on the go. Cause like sometimes these higher budget shoots, they have like 30 people there. And when I see somebody just like standing around, I feel bad. I'm like, oh, I'm wasting this person's time. So like, I just want to be able to shoot. We shoot on a little bit more of a produced level and sell it to a network.
You bring up a good point, because I've done like a few things on a bigger set, not a lot, but you're flex. Kind of stuck to a total flex. Do you see that? Yeah. Did you see me trying to like tape down the flex a little bit as I was going? But couldn't, you know, just boom. But it's very scripted tight. You need to hit your lines, and there's not a lot of room to play. And I feel like, for instance, today I wrote one of the sketches that we did. But the best stuff we got, and this always happens every time I write something, the best stuff that happens is the stuff that's not scripted at all. It's just in that moment.
Yeah. And I don't want to say like, I don't want to disrespect somebody's script, so I'll give them the line as they wrote it. But I think if you're like playing a character, you're just going to say what the character would say.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and that's why I bomb auditions. Bomb them. Because they're like, say what's on the paper. And I'm like, I don't know. You want me to memorize lines? Let's just improv it. Reno 911 did it. Nick Swartzen. And they're like, what?
Yeah.
This is for a Colgate commercial. I'm like, all right.
Well. I'm with you, though. I did auditions for a number of years and never got like anything.
They're brutal.
Yeah. Do you still do those?
I do. But, you know, with COVID, it's so weird because I'm like, what is the outcome here?
I
have a self-tape that's going to film in 2023.
Right.
You want to play a high schooler in 8 years? Yeah, sure.
Well, that's what makes the stuff that we do all the more, I guess, valuable right now, is that we can shoot, edit, produce all that stuff on our own for the most part.
It's crazy. And like, I have some friends who are like very traditional actors, and it's like they want what we have and we want what they have.
Isn't that funny?
It is weird. So I want that happy medium where I can like Jimmy O Yang, you know him?
No.
He was on a very funny comedian, an actor. He was on Silicon Valley.
Who was he on Silicon Valley?
I forget the name.
I'm sure I know him if he's on
his Instagram so cool. Is literally like funny Asian dude. He wears glasses.
Oh, I know exactly who you're talking about. Okay,
yeah.
Okay.
But he has done some massive stuff. He was just in like Space Force, the Netflix show. Like obviously Silicon Valley was massive, but then he just like also just like makes random like cooking stuff and puts it on his Instagram. And I'm like, I love that.
Yeah.
Just, I want that middle ground where it's like my Instagram is not controlled by some like marketing firm where I got to like shout out, you know, some random hair product. Like I want it to feel like you're still connecting with me, because at a certain level people get so famous it's like we're just like admiring your Instagram. I want to be like community. Like I want people to respond and do all that stuff with it.
Well, so. And also to never like be so precious about it. I feel like anytime creatively I've gotten precious, the stuff I put out has just been garbage.
Yeah. And it's also, I mean, it's like making videos is a muscle. So if you take so much time off and you get too out of the realm and you do a movie for 2 years and you come back and you try to make the same sketches, it's like the internet has advanced.
Mm-hmm.
And if you're not keeping your ear to that kind of like ear to the streets, I guess you could say, you'll lose touch. Because if you make the same style video that's popular right now in 2 years, I don't know if it would hit. Like I remember my worst video I ever did. I deleted it. I did like, you remember when music parodies were like massive?
Yeah.
Like Bart, what was his name? Bart Baker? Is that it?
Mm.
Bart Baker? Bart something. I don't know. But he did like a Lil Pump Gucci Gang music video parody, and it had like 46 million views. And I was like, oh, music parodies are like massive. So I did one when Drake's God's Plan came out. His Dog's Plan. Bought a dog suit, paid a videographer, shot edited. I thought it was going to be the greatest thing in the world. That shit flopped so hard.
It's
so hard.
Always tough when like, you know, buying a dog suit goes south, you know?
It is.
I will say that one of my favorite sketches that you did is where you were you the cat or the dog? Damn it.
Cat versus dog?
Yeah.
I was the cat.
Ah, that's right. You know, how terrible is that? And I can't even remember if you're the cat or the dog. What's wrong with me? What kind of an interviewer am I?
Not a good one.
No.
But they're, I'm just kidding.
He's not kidding at all.
But they're in the same, you know, it's raining cats and dogs. You know, they're in the same.
Right, right.
They're like in the same cloud.
It's raining.
They wouldn't say, you know.
Sure.
Cats and caterpillars.
Yeah.
That'd be interesting.
Well, anyway, my point is, you know, all was not lost with that dog suit because you made it as a cat.
I threw it away so quick. So, oh, no. So what happened? We filmed it and it was kind of raining that day. So I just had a wet dog suit in the back of my car for like a year. And I was like, what am I going to take this to a dry cleaner? Hey, can you wash this? I'm like, oh, is this for your kid? And I'm like, yeah, let's go with that. That's a safer answer on this.
Yeah. I have two final questions, but for one, I need to get some I forgot in the car. So that's pretty typical. That's so this happened in the Miles interview too. So
what is it?
It's a gift for you.
Oh
yeah. So just hold tight.
Hold tight.
Yeah. I mean, are you cool?
Yeah.
You okay?
Is there another question?
There's a question after that.
Oh,
but it starts with that.
Is the camera, are you going to cut? Is it just going to be me entertaining while you go to the car?
No, I would never make you do that, but if you wanted to.
I feel like you're not going to cut. All right, guys, this is a one-minute monologue. No pep in the step. Here's a one-minute monologue on why mosquitoes are trash. What are you doing? Who likes mosquitoes? You know what's great about mosquitoes? It's kind of like, mosquitoes are like a drug. Because they bite you and it itches, but that burn after you itch, it's like you don't want to feel that burn, but you do. But you don't want that burn in the first place. Where do mosquitoes come from? And also there's mosquito eaters. They're like a bigger mosquito. I've never once seen one eat a mosquito. I think they got the name and they're like, oh, well, we're good. We can just hang out. We don't need to do anything. We should. They need badges. The mosquito eaters need a little helmet with a badge. It's like, I will take you down. And also, I think people need to know the difference between a mosquito and a mosquito eater because people kill mosquito eaters. I did that all the way up until I was 27. I'm 27 right now because they're big and they're scary. And I'm like, I'm going to hit it with a sandal. And my mom's like, no, that's the good one. First of all, my mom's like, she sees a spider. She's like, no, keep it. That's a good one. I'm sorry. Do you follow each other on LinkedIn? How do you know that spider's good? All spiders. Well, I don't know. My mom's one of those people that like puts a spider in a red cup, walks it outside, puts it back in the garden. I'd be pissed if I was a spider. I was like, I did so much work to get inside this house. Now I got to restart this goddamn level. It is like a video game if you think about it. Bugs. Too many bugs out here. I haven't seen one lightning bug. Wisconsin, so far, 0 stars out of 5. That's too much. I like a lake. I'll give it 2. I think he's probably just standing behind me, not coming in yet. Is he in yet? Damn, tough looks. What do we do? Sing haiku poems? I wonder what the present's going to be. Hopefully it's like a hug. Actually, I don't like hugs when it's too hot out. You ever hug somebody and you're wearing a tank top and they're wearing like a low-cut shirt and your skin sticks together? It's like that you're sitting in a booth for too long in a restaurant and it peels off. Too hot. I thought it'd be more humid. I take that back. I'm sweating in every place. I do not smell good. I smell like a cheese farm. And we're back. Ladies and gentlemen, we are back. And I did a whole 3-minute rant on mosquitoes and spiders and sweat.
Did you get 3 minutes in?
It was pretty solid.
Did you tell them what you like about the Midwest most?
I think so.
Did you?
Yeah.
The nice stuff?
The Minnesota, or not Minnesota, the Midwest. The nice thing is it's too nice. Something's off.
I don't think anything's off, to be honest with you.
But that's a very Midwest answer.
I think we're just acknowledging each other and saying, hey, how are you? Checking in, seeing how you're feeling.
Yeah, I don't like that. Do therapists exist in Wisconsin, or is everybody just nice to each other so they don't? Because I feel like in Los Angeles, everybody's so cooped up in their head. They're just like, the world's after me. And then in reality, they're just like hungover. But out here, people just, like, if I was hungover and somebody said hi to me, I'd be like, I don't think I'm hungover anymore.
That's exactly, it's kind of like just blowing off a little bit of steam, just by saying, hey, how are you? And you know what? Truth of it is, most people need therapists, but we just cover it up by saying this. I'm fine. I'm fine.
I'm fine.
I'm fine.
Could be worse.
Could be worse.
Those are my favorite. Could be worse.
Yeah. No, that's good. That's good. What is your favorite thing about the Midwest, though, I want to ask?
The greenery. Very green.
Yeah, it is very green.
You don't really see this many trees. Like, it's real nice.
Yeah.
Any corner looks like it could be a wallpaper.
Wow.
You took a picture of that with your phone? And you put that as your background?
No, honestly, this right here, I will say the Marriott in Appleton just has a magnificent river view.
Yeah.
In July. I mean, look at those flowers. You're right. Wow.
It's the Marriott.
What?
The Marriott is really what's bringing it all home here.
Yeah, the Marriott is popping.
Marriotts are so far and few. Like, a Marriott could either be a Motel 6 with a different sign on it.
Yeah.
Like, this is a legit... This is nice.
This is the president. They put you up... Nice here.
See, this is where like a senator who lost in like 2004 would stay.
Totally.
But he still got some
of
steam.
That caliber.
He still got some steam.
He still gets called to like raise money every now and again.
Yeah. I mean, some rooms have a balcony. Mine doesn't. No shade, Appleton, but interesting.
You know,
interesting. The comedy club didn't give your boy a balcony. Love a good balcony, but that's fine.
No, it's a weird dig to put at this point in the podcast, but I'm picking up what you're putting down. See, if I were to do that, I'd be like, you know, it's great. I had a fine view of all these amazing balconies here on it. Some magnificent balconies. Didn't have one in my room.
The balconies. That's a, that's an interesting take.
Yeah. That could be a song. That could be a song, a poetic song. Anyway.
Yeah. The gift. What's up?
Okay. So, in my show, The Manitowoc Minute, what I do is I have this section called the Craigslist Kicker, and that's where I find some amazing things off of Craigslist. And so I will present to you something that I got off Craigslist, and I'd like to do it as my Manitowoc Minute character. So, hey, dear Trevor Wallace, how you doing? It's me, Charlie, the host of the Manitowoc Minute. Pleasure to have you on the podcast. In my travels, I bought some stuff off the Craigslist, as the other Charlie just told you, but I like to repeat things every now and again just so you know the deal, okay? So
valid.
I was out there doing actually a Craigslist kicker road trip a couple years ago, and I stopped in up there in Tomahawk, Wisconsin, okay, and I bought a picture from a lady, and the picture was of a bear, okay, a bear dancing in the woods. Now, this is important because I made a joke about the Chicago Bears, okay? When she says, don't worry about it, we're a Packers fan. In fact, you can have this too, okay?
Oh.
And so I know you are a Bears fan, allegedly. There is a coffee stain on this.
Piece of toilet paper,
now,
I'll take it.
Okay, we can't call it that. Now, that coffee stain, I want you to know, did not come with the hat. I put that on the coffee stain. So that's a starter cap, circa, I'm going to say 1995, okay? It's got the Zubas look on it, and you're looking...
Dude, I kind of like it.
You're looking fly there, guy. So, yeah, no, I mean... You're looking legit, okay? That looks great on you. So perfect.
Yeah.
All right.
Should I wear this to a Bears game?
You should absolutely wear that to a Bears game. If you wear that on a stage in Wisconsin, you will not have to even talk. They will just applaud.
I think every 4 minutes I'll just go, Aaron Rodgers, and they're like, this guy gets it.
The other guy, I don't know about him, but
the
this guy
with the hair, long hair, yeah. Linebacker, Clay?
Oh,
Matthews?
Clay Matthews. Yeah. He's gone now. He's gone. But, you know.
He was a Packer.
He,
is he retired or is he on a different team?
I think he went to another team. Now he's retired.
Is he in L.A.?
L.A. You did it backwards,
Max. You know what's funny is I live in Los Angeles. I could not name one of the Los Angeles
Chargers. Now you can.
I know Jared, football, the coach, not the coach, the QB, Jared Goff.
Yeah.
Drank a Corona with him one time.
Really?
Cool moment.
Weird flex.
Very.
Weird
flex. I just felt like I needed to throw something out there. I was like, I've been too humble. Jared Goff? Yeah.
Dude.
Give me a beer at the bungalow in Santa Monica. I'll take it.
Wow. At the bungalow, too.
You ever been there?
Yeah. Weirder flex. That place is a meat
court,
market.
Yeah. If Bros had a home court, it would be the bungalow.
Oh.
That is very much
you
the vibe.
You just walk in there and it just smells like STDs.
Yeah.
All right. Final question. What's your recommendation to people?
Clay Matthews.
Perfect. Clay Matthews. And that's a podcast. That's a Cripes guest. What's your recommendation to people who want to do what you do? What would you tell them to do?
Oh, man. I say patience.
Yeah.
Like, it all will lay out and it'll make sense when you look back on it. You want patience because you don't. If you think about it, you want to build a career and then have people get eyes on it. You know, it's like you don't. It's like with music, you don't want your first song to go viral because there's nothing to latch onto. And of course, if you do go viral your first song, then you figure out a way to make it work. But like, let's say I just found out about you, and then I go back and you got 2 years banked of videos. I'm gonna binge the shit out of that.
Mm-hmm.
And then you become like a diehard fan, essentially. So it's like patience, and there's something cool to be said about somebody who's been in been working at it for a couple of years. You have a little bit more respect, because you might scroll to the bottom and be like, damn, Charlie's been making videos since like 2015. Like he deserves a follow. He's consistent. That's the biggest thing, is letting people know, like, I'm consistent. I put out my work. This is who I am. And yeah, kind of just going from there.
I also think that struggle of getting to the top just makes you more resilient. Because when you probably know this, you've been doing well, and then a few videos just flop, 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 flop. And that's when you need that grit.
That's when I go back to the, when a couple of videos don't do well, it's mainly because I tried a risk and I tried to make a video that's a little bit outside of my wheelhouse. And then when those don't hit, I'll be like, well, it's time for another one-liner video. But I love the one-liner videos, but there's something more cinematic to me that's like creating a sketch and like a world. I like that, but those don't tend to go as viral as much for me. Mm-hmm. But I like making the one-liner videos. I just feel like I've done so many that it's like, what else can I do?
Right.
But it's the same thing when an artist puts out an album that's like very different and people are like, what is this?
Right.
And then they're like, I'm kidding. Here's a song you guys love. And the club banger just starts again. So
right.
It's all checks and balances, essentially. I don't know if that applies here, but we'll take it.
Yeah, we'll take it. Well, patience, thanks for sitting down, man. This was awesome.
Of course, dude. I'm actually excited. I'll wear this tonight.
Oh, dude. You look great in it, honestly. Don't let anyone ever tell you differently, especially in
Chicago.
Would
people tell me differently?
In Naperville, they'd tell you differently.
Yeah.
But to hell with Naperville, that's what I say.
Well, that's a little rude.
And the Midwest nice just unravels. You know what? I'm going to take that back. Naperville is at least going to purgatory. Okay. Honestly. You know what purgatory is?
It's not a good place.
It's not the worst place. It's like the happy hour before heaven, you know?
Oh.
You know what? You're from Naperville. How could I say that? How could I invite you onto the Cripescast and then talk crap about Naperville? You know? Okay. See, it's at Bears. You wrote it into the sketch today. You know, it's nice. And then you say something about the Bears and then it's just a turn.
Yeah.
And I get nasty. And you saw some of that come out in a very authentic way. And
what I'm saying. Everybody out here's got a little turn. Everybody's one day away from a bad burger where they just swept the table and they're like, I'm having an affair. He just yells at his boss. The guy's like, what does that have to do with me? Anyways, we'll keep it clean. We'll keep it Christian.
All right. Thanks, man. And I'm really sorry about that Naperville burn. I'm really sorry about that. I got to apologize at least three times. So one more is coming. I'm so sorry about that. I know you only lived there for 2.5 years. I'm just so sorry about that.
2.5 years. Okay. It's all good.
All right. Cool, man.
It's all fun and games.
Thank you, dude. Thanks for doing this. I appreciate you.
Of course, man.
All right. There it is. My interview with Trevor Wallace. Thank you all for listening to the Cripescast. If you do think of it, don't forget to rate and comment on this podcast. I really appreciate hearing all your feedback. And if you do rate it, consider rating it 5 stars. If you want to rate it 1 star, consider not doing that. But thank you all for whatever feedback you get. I very much so appreciate it. Okay, that's it for this week. All right, everybody, drive home safe. Okay, watch out for deer out there. I tell your folks I says hi, and this is for you, Trevor. As always, go Packers and f*** the Bears. Okay, bye-bye.
So roll out the barrel and get the band brewing. Life's got you down, just keep her moving. It's on Wisconsin, the Badgers say it's the old Wisconsin Jubilee.
You know, sometimes when you're ice fishing, you put your foot into walleye hole and go ass over tea kettle and you think you're done. No, you gotta keep her moving.